Welcome to another episode of InvestStream. I'm Pankaj, and I'm here with my friend Sanjay Nath, founder and managing director of Bloom Ventures. Sanjay, welcome to New York.
Thank you. Always good to be back.
Sanjay, you've been investing in India probably longer than most individuals have. You've seen lots of cycles in India. Since 2010, you started, right?
Yeah, Karthik and I both, my co-founder Karthik and I both met through the Mumbai Angels. We actually met in the late 2000s, so about 2008, 2009, and then 2011 is when Bloom officially started. But you're right, we had the benefit of seeing India in its very early days through the lens of the Mumbai Angels.
So everything that you've seen, you've invested in over, what, 75, 80 companies over the last couple of years. What are some things that you're seeing happening in India now? You know, India in 2018, 2019 became hot again. We've seen, you know, many, many more unicorns get created. We've seen a lot more enthusiasm, especially amongst the Chinese and Japanese investors to invest in India. Perhaps not as much here in the US, but we're seeing a lot of money flowing into India. What are some of the things that you're seeing? What kinds of companies are interesting today? What are you staying away from?
Sure. So, you know, a couple of sort of macro themes or trends, if you look at it. I mean, we are, I'll give you the lens from our, the own evolution of our funds, right? Now we're on the road for our fund three. If you look at fund one, while we had really, really interesting companies like Grey Orange, and of course, Taxi for sure, that's, you know, that went to Ola. The pace of growth, or if you look at the movement of the portfolio, I think from fund one took much longer. And if you look at the like the momentum shift, right, of companies moving from one stage to another, be it exits or be it like successive rounds, happening much faster now. So if you look at fund two to fund three, or rather in fund two, companies moving to Series A and the A to Bs are moving, happening much faster well compared to fund one.
So what do you attribute to that? Do you attribute more VCs in the market, more companies doing acquisitions, more capital flowing into the same VCs that there were, you know, 5-6 years ago?
I think multiple things. I think it's a combination of things. I think one is, you know, if you look at the Series A sort of bucket, that really hasn't changed, right? That has been very constricted.
Yeah.
But if you look at the interest from the East, you know, you could think of this term as it's the West is always interesting, but today's also about the rise of the East.
Yeah.
Look at the Chinese, Japanese, and the Southeast Asian investors. Everybody from the BAT and Strategics to the SoftBanks, of course, and new Japanese investors like BNext, co-investors, and of course in Singapore you've got B Capital and, you know, other Jungle and WaveMaker, all look in India quite actively. That was not the case, so that's one.
Yeah.
Secondly, you know, everybody hears about geofication or the geo effect. The fact that the digital infrastructure has leapfrogged and moved across so fast. You know, you've still got your physical infrastructure challenges in India, but the fact that today, you know, mobile phones, I mean, feature phones and, I mean, broadband access is almost free. You know, there's so many options around local content, around content commerce, and about, you know, different niches in e-commerce taking off. So I think the digital infrastructure, the whole geo effect, and the fact that, and you're also seeing, in a sense, you know, we're sitting here in New York, the hedge funds, you know, everybody from the Steadview to the Falcon Edge to the Tiger, coming back and looking into India.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of things. Also, the fact that I think the quality of founders coming to us today are different, in the sense that you have actual unicorn founders leaving, starting their own, coming to funds like Bloom, versus about 8-10 years ago, the entire ecosystem was so nascent. We were much younger, founders were much younger. Younger in terms of not in terms of age, but just in terms of the exposure, and they hadn't been there, done that before. Today they have the benefit of not only learning from working at being product managers at Ola or Flipkart, but also having, you know, board members and angel investors who can guide them. So I think the whole ecosystem has shifted in terms of maturity.
Yeah. So now, in terms of the founders, what are some of the interesting areas that are emerging? Right. Like, you know, I remember back 2015, we had a mad rush towards food delivery, which imploded. I was never a fan of the model. And, you know, 2015, 2016, you know, I started looking at more India-specific, vernacular type of businesses like social cops and Shiro's and some of those things that were solving very Indian problems. Now, some of those have done well, some of those ideas haven't done as well, but we're starting to see like Indian content, vernacular content really explode, with ShareChat and some of these other apps. What are some of the things that you're seeing over there that is really exciting, not today, but exciting for tomorrow?
So, you know, you've heard probably heard of this paradigm, and we talk about it, that there are two Indias, right? There is the India consumption model, which is really the China story, which is India consumer for India. And then the B2B, which is really built in India for global markets. So let's examine both of those. If you look at the first state consumption, India 2.0, or rather India 3.0, which is really tier 2, tier 3 cities, the hinterland, the fact is that they're all, again, thanks to geofication, they're all internet enabled, they're mobile enabled. They're mobile first, mobile only ideas starting today. So if you look at certain sectors like agri-tech, for example, right? Today, we've done a company called, it's not really agri-tech, but it touches India 2.0, 3.0, Stellapps, right? Which is really a Fitbit for cows, which is really streamlining that whole supply chain and bringing power to the farmer's hands, helping milk cooperatives, using IoT sensors, right? So it's a bit of B2B, but it's still consumer. Very interesting, you know, experienced founders that are starting up. So agri-tech and everything that touches that is interesting. Look at fintech. I think fintech has moved from just pure wallets to lending, to now lending for India 3.0, right? To
micro-lending.
Ola drivers, micro-lending, peer-to-peer lending. Healthcare is very interesting. I mean, we have Healthify Me from Fund 2 and Tricorg. Fund 1, we didn't do anything in healthcare. Fund 2, we did 4. And now we're already looking at healthcare because it's so transformative, right, in terms of the impact. And then you marry tech, whether it is, you know, healthcare on the mobile device, which is health health and wellness app with AI, or something like a Tricorg, which is, you know, B2B, helping save lives, but again, you know, partnering with the ecosystem, whether it's GE or the other. So you're seeing healthcare impact both sides, B2C and B2B. So agri-tech, healthcare, EduTech, I think EduTech was also interesting. I mean,
Byju's. Next question.
Well, Byju's is interesting because it's got more of the feet on the street model. But if you look at Owen Academy, An Academy is a great example of like the way we're doing this podcast, right? Online only, what YouTubers were to YouTube, you've got educators coming onto An Academy. The way you know, the millennials are learning today is very different.
Very different.
They are, of course, they, you know, they're doing rote learning and everything going to school, but they're also, it's ancillary. They want to augment that learning, and that's where, you know, your where online education comes in. So I think these very, very core to India's economy, right? Healthcare, edutech, and fintech, and agritech. We weren't seeing these seeing ideas in Fund One at all, and that is going to be a core focus, or amongst the core focus areas in our fund three.
What about B2B and SaaS, like, you know, enterprise level software has lagged in India for years, right? Like Freshdesk would never have survived if they only focused on India. And we've seen so many companies that are fabulous companies, but India was just never a good market for them. And now we're starting to see today more and more companies building enterprise software for India. They might still look at foreign markets, but really focusing on the Indian enterprise customer. Where do you see that going over the next couple of years? Do you think Indian enterprises are really ready to start spending on technology and medium to large enterprises?
You know, I was just at Tycon in Silicon Valley last week, and we had the same conversation. I think one big advantage that India's had over China is, of course, the English language. And the fact is, the fact that we've had a very strong both a cross-border and a tech orientation in terms of engineering talent. But most of the engineering talent always went more into services, right? The Infosys, Wipro. We didn't really have the mentality of a product manager, product-driven innovation. I think B2B has also sort of morphed or evolved from classic enterprise from SaaS, right? Which is, of course, going to see a lot of growth, to, let's call it, advanced tech, right? So I'll give you an example. So I think what Freshdesk and our own Belong and other SaaS models have proved is that we're really, really good at using India's, let's call it, labor arbitrage to do lead generation in a very advanced way. And then having, you know, your founders or chief sales officers here in the US or Singapore going after global markets. So I think that model has been proven. Today you hear Girish at Freshdesk and the others talking about finding those growth levers, finding those growth engines. I think lead generation or enterprise SaaS has sort of, you know, there is a playbook today,
mm-hmm.
and Freshdesk and the others have written that. We've got Graytip, Hotel Logix in our own portfolio,
yeah.
right? Locus is kind of in the middle, right? SaaS
yeah.
and enterprise software.
Right.
If you look at enterprise software and advanced tech, the likes of Grey Orange, which is
yeah.
automating warehousing using robots. Locus, which is basically using AI to automate the last mile logistics delivery. Tricog, which is using AI to deliver, save lives and basically has an algorithm that reduces, that could predict heart attacks, much more accurately.
Mm.
You're seeing talent, I think a big shift has been talent, both from the US, but also ingrown from the ISEs,
mm-hmm.
in areas like deep learning, neural networks, AI, machine learning, which was again not the case, right?
Yeah.
Talent was a missing factor because you had it at the founder level,
right.
but you didn't have it at the VP of engineering
yeah.
level. You didn't have enough data scientists.
You had a lot of people that were just in
right.
academia and they wouldn't leave academia.
So I think tech has morphed. So it's not, I think, you know, a lot of the growth is going to come from SaaS because it's proven.
Yeah.
I think the other areas are equally interesting. So, you know, we've looked at, we've not announced it yet, but from Fund 3, we're looking at a company that is basically it's voice AI, which is basically using voice optimization software and deep learning
mm-hmm.
to cut call centers, the average transaction time or call time from call centers from 30 minutes to 2 minutes.
Wow.
That can be transformative, right? If you're
yeah.
somebody's on hold for, it's a service industry,
yeah,
with
yeah,
the airline.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're seeing, deep learning and, becoming much more than buzzwords
mm-hmm.
and actually becoming reality where, 80 or 90% of the teams can be based in Bangalore and the rest, move to the Valley. Or
yeah.
outside. So that it's been quite a shift of enterprise software moving from SaaS to SaaS
plus AI.
These advanced
areas,
yeah.
Interesting. What are some of the things that you are concerned about when it comes to startups and just the overall ecosystem in India right now?
I think one, that's a great question. I think one of the, if you look at the B2B side, I think
yeah.
one is the focus on customers,
yeah.
which I think is, very, very, just second nature here in the Valley or
mm-hmm.
in the US, right? I think, I think the media also plays an interesting role, both, both good and not so good, which is really, the focus on funding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is that you focus on customers, it focus on solving a problem, scalable problem, the funding will come, not
yeah.
the other way around.
Right.
So I think while Indian enterprises are adopting faster, I think entrepreneurs really have to find out where their market is, right?
Yeah.
Be close to your market, focus on that.
Right.
I think that's really, really important because that's how, crossing the chasm in B2B is getting from that 2 million to 5 million, 5 million to 10. There are many B2B companies that are stuck in that 2 to 5.
Yeah.
Once you get past the 10 million ARR and you're growing at a healthy clip,
right.
which is when you're going to, which is where you're going to get the capital. You may not even need it
yeah.
because you have customers. So
yeah.
that's on the B2B side. I think on the consumer side, again, capital is an important moat, right? Of course it is. I mean, you have Swiggy.
Yep.
So today you have actually, a Minotaur fundraise where the fundraise itself is $1 billion.
Yeah.
Forget the company being a unicorn.
Yeah.
So of course capital is a moat, but I think again there, I think. Startups really have to focus really what they're good at. I mean,
yeah.
we've got Dunzo, right? Which
mm-hmm.
has developed fantastic customer loyalty.
Yeah.
Very
oh,
intense customer loyalty in Bangalore.
I almost invested in Dunzo also, but I passed on it because it was food delivery back then.
That's right. So
and they've transformed the whole model and everybody in Bangalore that I meet or talk to, yeah, we're going to Dunzo it. It's a verb now.
It's a verb. That's right. And
right.
It's not a coincidence. Or it's, in one sense, it's irony that Google invested because Google is also a verb.
Yeah.
So now Google's invested or partnered with the company with Dunzo and both
yeah.
Both are verbs, right?
Yeah.
You Dunzo it and Google it.
Yeah.
Or if you look at a milk basket, which is
right.
doing micro delivery. I think I would say the message for us as investors is actually to back those founders who are so obsessed about solving a problem that they're not going to get deterred, because there's a large incumbent. But they're going to figure out a way and become really good at that.
Yeah.
So I think Dunzo is a great example. I think one risk that we find is founders, I want to say like burning out. And what I mean by that is, can you round out the team early?
Yeah.
We take management team risk, right? But
yeah.
you have to have that risk taken out by the time you go for a B or a C, definitely.
Absolutely.
And I think there's some good, some good examples happening. If you look at of course they're very well funded, but Aditya Ghosh joining Oyo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say there's an ex-Bain partner, you know, he's now with Delhivery.
Yeah.
We need more of that because you've got founders. Founders will always be, obviously they're the most brilliant, and they'll always be the closest and the most they're obsessive about the problem, but they need the gray hair, they need the Bindel and that guys to execute, right? When you raise $100 million, how do you spend it?
Absolutely.
Where do you spend it? How do you allocate
it? And
you spend
it responsibly, right? Like we've also
Absolutely.
Seen plenty of examples where founders are not responsible. So
Housing.com,
yeah.
right? All
yeah.
of that. So I think that's a positive change. And we're getting a lot of, what's interesting to us as VCs, we've got quite a strong ecosystem. The number of pings from CEOs and senior executives that we get, you know, at Bloom is that, hey, you know, I am the CEO of this pharma company. I'd love to look at your healthcare platform, to angel invest, to mentor, to maybe become an independent board member. That's fantastic
yeah.
for the ecosystem,
yeah.
which was not the case.
Just even 2-3 years ago, it wasn't the case.
Well, you know, about 10 years ago, some of them were even like, you know, vicariously watching, hey, all this is going to tank. Let's watch
yes.
from the outside and have a laugh.
It's how people are looking at crypto today.
today they want to jump in, right? They
yeah.
want to be part of. They want to be part of this.
Absolutely.
Part of the story.
I think a big validation point in India, at least, was when Ratan Tata started investing in startups, right? Like that. I think for the established corporate mindset, that was the real stamp of approval. That, wait, if he's ready to start putting his money here, and not just his money, but his time,
yeah.
then perhaps we're wrong, and it's time to move on.
You know, it's interesting, right? I mean, sometimes that's overplayed, underplayed, but what's interesting is got people's attention.
Yeah,
got people's
it's a
thinking.
Signal.
People said, well, if he's doing it, what are we missing, right?
Yeah.
This is the positive side of FOMO.
Absolutely.
I think the negative side is about, like, food tech getting carried away in a cycle. The positive side is that, wow, if he's looking at it,
yeah.
maybe there's something here.
Absolutely.
And today I could tell you the number of family offices of executives that are investing into funds,
yeah.
that are investing into startups, that are mentoring startups, which is really what we need, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell these young founders what are the mistakes to avoid and help them, you know, especially in the scaling part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's great when we get these emails and, you know, LinkedIn requests from senior executives who want to partner.
Right.
It's great for the
yeah,
ecosystem.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. So a lot of people talk about, you know, the life of a VC and, you know, what's exciting about it. What sucks about being a VC?
Interesting.
I mean, I have my own views, but I want
yeah,
to hear your
yeah.
views.
You know, I think it's, well, you know what's great, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's great to build a platform
yeah.
and have spend time with founders, right? I think what is challenging, what is interesting is that you meet an entrepreneur, you fall in love with him or her in terms of what he's trying to build and change the world. And you realize that now you have not a bureaucracy, but you have a machinery.
Yeah.
And you have to go out and, you know, get that into action, to have an IC process, to have the other team members meet them. And the founder really wants to just get ahead and build product or sell, right? The two
yeah.
things. And they've got to, you know, they've got to spend time and come and meet your team members. And of course, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's always at the back of our mind, you know, that back of our minds, that, you know, how can you move quickly with agility,
yeah.
yet you do the rigorous. I think that's one.
Mm-hmm.
The others, you know, to put on a blazer and a suit and, you know, go and meet LPs. But what is really interesting is we're finding that today, I think LPs and investors are really getting interested by the founder stories.
Yeah.
So one is returns, which of course is really important, right? You've got to have a healthy RR, and India's, you know, the challenge, and I think the gauntlet's been thrown for all of us to disprove the fact that India doesn't return or hasn't returned,
yeah.
right? I mean, that's a challenge for
Absolutely.
All of us. But what is interesting is that we're actually putting our founders in front of our LPs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really getting excited about this founder story. It's really, hey, wow, you know, I met you in New York about 5 years ago. Now I've come to Bangalore and seen you. Wow, you've really grown.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, company like Locus, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, you know, with its new round investors, which is just right here down the street in
yeah.
New York. That's a great story because people say, wow, these companies are now coming out of India,
right.
you know. It's great to see that they're building global stories. That's the interesting part. I think the challenging part is just the challenge is that, you know, the quote, India has not performed as well as it should have.
Yeah.
It's for all of us to disprove. So that kind of sucks a bit because people don't give you that the right of way or that leap of, you know, or really the free pass that yes, you do it. You have to prove. Well, you really have to prove your metrics. Yes,
yeah.
You're performing. And there's, you know, this close scrutiny.
Because I think India has, and this is not just tech, but India in general has had a history of, you know, taking one step forward and 10 steps back, right? From an economic perspective, right? Whether it was banning Coca-Cola or nationalizing industries or just, you know, regulation that just is out of control, you know, all kinds of things. So, you know, there have been a lot of investors who dipped their toes in early and they got bitten and now they're shy about coming back in.
Yeah.
And it does make all of our jobs a lot harder.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there are enough proof points now where, you know, sure, you know, we still only have one unicorn exit coming out of India in the last 20 years, right? Let's say the last 15
years. Which is Flipkart.
Yeah, which is Flipkart. I'm not going to put Naukri and Make My Trip in that category because I think they're a little bit slightly different. But let's say this cycle in the last 10, 15 years, Flipkart's the only one. That being said, there are some amazing companies that have been built, and the investors in those companies, some of them have taken money out of some of those companies in secondaries. And so, you know, the proof points are getting built by a lot of people now. So I think collectively, and you know, you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about this with Karthik in the past, collectively as a ecosystem, right, we need to beat the drums a little louder.
Yeah.
Right, and we need to really get in front of the right outlets and show that, look, here are our IRRs, right, publicly, right, put those numbers out there, show people that, you know, some of those things we can't do because of regulatory issues, but really, as an industry, get out there and show people that, look, you know, this company was here, today it's here, and this is what's happened, right, and here are potential acquirers or ways of exiting, and I think that's something that, as an industry, the venture capital angel industry in India, that's something that we haven't done so well.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think that's an interesting point. And when you do this with Karthik, he'll open the kimono and he'll share all the numbers like he loves to do. But it's interesting if you think about, you know, some people have actually asked us, you know, are Indian entrepreneurs ambitious enough? And absolutely they are.
Yeah.
I think it's all been about the execution and building, about team building, scaling. Yeah. India Internet Day, which just happened like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, about three, four, it was a really audacious and ambitious, nicely ambitious tagline, 100 unicorns, right? That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously China has 60. I think we have 20 today. India has 20 unicorns today.
Is it 20 now?
I think we have about 20 if you look at, you know, if you look at some who are like sunicorns, you add right?
Yeah.
The gray oranges and the Udans and, you know, the others.
Yeah.
Now, Hanstone from GGV and, you know, the other investors from Chimingwall there, somebody wrote an article in the Times of India saying that India is not China, will never be China, and should not be China.
I agree.
But here's what's interesting. They were actually, it wasn't a knock on India, but it was like, you know,
India's going to take a different path.
It's a different path. But the Chinese, Hanstung, actually came in and said that, I'm super bullish on India. Yes, it can't be China, but we are here for a reason.
Should
capitalists come into three of our companies? They're looking at more, right?
Yeah.
The Chinese strategics and the Japanese are coming. We have Japanese LPs. You brought up an interesting point about sharing and writing and awareness. I think as an industry, I think we can all do much more to share, because what happens is if there isn't data or if there isn't transparency, people just stay away. They
Absolutely.
Say, oh, it's unknown, so I won't get in.
Absolutely.
I think the more, so we need more proof points, like you said. Flipkart was great, but it was an anomaly because it was way out, you know, and right field, home run out of the park. Secondaries and the exits are interesting because more money going out means more money coming back and renewed confidence,
absolutely.
Right? Just like for LPs.
Yeah.
So we need, you're absolutely right, to create a array, to create a, you know, systematic, to create a scientific process or a scalable process of these returns going out, coming in, and we don't need necessarily 20 billion exits. To use a cricket analogy and baseball, we need more twos and threes.
We need singles and doubles.
Yeah. We don't, all of them don't have to be home runs.
Absolutely.
But we need a scalable area of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I would urge you to talk to all of our friends back in India, and do India Internet Day 2020 in New York City.
Okay, sure.
This is where all the customers are.
Absolutely.
This is where all the LPs are.
Well, you know what we could do? We could have different versions. You can obviously have, You have the India version because that's where you get all the founders.
Yeah.
But I think all of us, you know, just like how the government of India had India Incredible, this is not really a rara. This is a very realistic look.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
What you do here is also great. You talk about the risks and you talk about what's good. It's
yeah.
not just a
we have to balance it.
It's not a marketing thing.
We have to tell a balanced story, and that's where we will gain credibility, right?
And focus. You hit the nail. I think focus on customers and users, right? For both those sides, we all kind of obsessed about going to investors,
yeah.
Entrepreneurs, you know, just want to come and pitch to us all the time. Realize the end game is you get the growth and you get customers.
Investors
and,
will come.
And
they'll chase you.
We follow.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Well, Sanjay, thank you so much.
I appreciate you. Great.
Thank you for joining us again on InvestStream, and I will see you again next time.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.